welcome to the State of Florida Sports Podcast, presented by the USA Today Network. Here's your host, Tim Walters.
It's a question I've been seeking an answer to for 2 years. Is Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa good? Well, I think this season has answered that question. The third-year QB has been lighting up opposing defenses, throwing for 19 touchdowns, which is tied for fifth in the league despite missing two games and parts of two others. Two of the Dolphins' three losses came when Tua was out with a concussion, and the third loss came in the Thursday night game when Tua suffered the concussion. All three losses happened consecutively. With a win over the Texans this past weekend, the Dolphins are riding a five-game winning streak while leading the AFC East, holding the tiebreaker advantage over the Buffalo Bills. The two will meet again in December. This upcoming weekend, they'll face one of their toughest challenges of the season as they travel out west to take on the San Francisco 49ers. We know the Dolphins can score, but are they up to the task of stopping an equally explosive 49ers offense? To break down this game and everything else Dolphins, I welcome back Joe Shad, the Dolphins beat writer for the Palm Beach Post. Joe's a frequent visitor to the podcast, and his analysis of this team is second to none. Hello again, everybody. I'm Tim Walters, and thank you once again for joining me on the State of Florida Sports Podcast, powered by the USA Today Network. This podcast utilizes our Florida Sports Network, a beat writer's columnists, and some special guests to bring you up to speed on the most important sports topics. Our Florida network consists of 17 news sites that encompass the state. We encourage you to subscribe to your hometown newspaper, and of course, this podcast, to help support the incredible journalism done by our talented staffs. Joe Shad has covered the Dolphins for the better part of a decade, yet he's never seen them win the AFC East. The Dolphins last did that in 2008. Let's bring him in now and find out how he sees the rest of the season playing out. Joe, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. So before we start talking Tua or the 49ers, I want to talk the Dolphins defense, because the Dolphins took a major step to shore up the defense at the trade deadline by bringing in Bradley Chubb on November 1st. So in the three games since, the Dolphins first allowed 32 points to Chicago, then 17 to the Browns, and now 15 to the Texans, including shutting them out in the first half on Sunday. So was the move enough to help them slow down upcoming opponents like the 49ers, the Chargers, and of course the Bills late in December?
Well, it is a good thing the Dolphins added Bradley Chubb, especially when you take into account that they lost defensive end and pass rusher Emmanuel Ogba for the season recently. And when you look at the Dolphins' ability to rotate into two spots, three different players, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, and Melvin Ingram, they all had about the same number of snaps in the Dolphins' last game. That's really a lethal combination. A group of guys who, with the occasional pass rush of Andrew Van Ginkle as well, give them a chance to get pressure on the quarterback without blitzing. And that's something that the Dolphins were unable to do for large parts of last season and certainly early this season. You know, the Dolphins' defensive turnaround in part has to do with the weakness of their recent opponents. And certainly there's a step up in class in the upcoming schedule with the likes of Jimmy Garoppolo, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. Those are four quite good quarterbacks, and it's certainly a challenge without some key players on offense, on defense, who have been injured, such as Byron Jones. Certainly no indication that Byron is returning anytime soon. And Brandon Jones, the safety as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the 49ers coming up this Sunday, I think they may have one of the best running back, receiver, tight end trios you're going to find anywhere, with Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and then the recently acquired Christian McCaffrey. And when you add to that, you're right, Garoppolo has been playing really well. So if you're the Dolphins defensive coordinator, Josh Boyer, how are you approaching this game? Which are you trying to, you know, you can't really go one-on-one on all of these things. So what are you going to try and mainly stop?
Yeah, you know, the Dolphins have been fairly solid against the run this year. Running quarterbacks are the ones who have given the Dolphins the biggest problems. So I wouldn't be as concerned about McCaffrey as I would be about George Kittle in particular. I mean, you have to assume Xavier Howard is going to try to shut down Debo Samuel, and Xavier is feeling better after having two groin injuries that he needed to play through earlier in the year. He's feeling better. Scored a touchdown on Sunday against the Texans. But who exactly is going to cover George Kittle? Is it the safety Eric Rowe? Is it the undrafted rookie safety Verone McKinley? Is it a cornerback like Kader Kohou? Keon Crossan has been playing through some injury as well. This is the time of year where teams are banged up, and the Dolphins are certainly no exception. Kader Kohou, the outstanding undrafted rookie corner from Texas A&M Commerce and Ivory Coast, you wouldn't even know that he played through a pretty bad right thumb injury, had it in a soft cast. So it's that time of the year where everyone's trying to play through injury, and certainly the 49ers offensive scheme will pose a challenge. I guess one good thing is that Kyle Shanahan runs a scheme that's quite similar to what Mike McDaniel operates with the Dolphins. So the Dolphins have certainly practiced against this type of scheme all offseason.
Yeah, I mean, how big of an advantage is that McDaniel has come over from this staff? So it kind of takes away a little bit of the surprise of what the 49ers might try and do.
Yeah, you know, they know each other well, and they know each other's tricks. You know, obviously one of the things that each of those coaches, Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel, try to do are come up with specific plays to add into the playbook in a given week to attack an opponent's very specific weaknesses. And so, you know, Shanahan's certainly going to try to put the Dolphins' number two and number three corners and number two and number three safeties at a disadvantage and into some difficult spots. But yeah, Garoppolo and Tagovailoa are, I believe, both in the top five in the NFL in passer rating. Tua and Garoppolo ahead of Rodgers and Allen in passer rating. Who would think that, right?
Crazy to think about, but, you know, two guys who are very efficient with the ball and, you know, who make a lot more smart decisions, I think, than reckless decisions, I guess you could say. So, you know, let's talk about this past weekend game against Houston. And, you know, I'll be honest, being the sports editor of our Jacksonville newspaper, I was paying more attention to the craziness going on with the comeback against the Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, I saw the score at the bottom of the screen, and before you could blink, it was 30-0 Dolphins. So, you know, the glaring stat that I read after the game, though, it said that Tua was sacked four times, all after Teron Armstead went down with a pectoral injury. So how much is that going to affect the Dolphins if he's out any period of time? Because he is one of the, you know, the most important pass protector.
Yeah, earlier in the season, Greg Little was the backup left tackle for the Dolphins. But when Armstead went out about midway through Sunday's game, the Dolphins put Brandon Shell, who was pretty solid at right tackle when filling in for Austin Jackson, over at left tackle. And that did not work out quite well. Tagovailoa was pretty quickly sidelined in a precautionary move with the Dolphins leading 30-0 at halftime. So it's going to be interesting to see, assuming Armstead is out this week and NFL Network reports it's a strain, not a tear, which is good. That means that he'd presumably be able to return at some point this season. Do the Dolphins go back to Little at left tackle, or do they go with Shell, who again was solid at right tackle, but not as solid at left tackle? And then Austin Jackson didn't finish the game after returning for the first time since the season opener. He kind of re-aggravated his ankle, but he told me after the game that he felt he would be okay.
Well, you know, Joe, when you also look at the Houston sideline and their quarterback situation, you see Kyle Allen replacing Davis Mills. It kind of looks like every situation you've covered Miami until Tua came along. So you want to talk about Tua, or would you feel more comfortable breaking down Allen and Mills?
Yeah, it was really embarrassing. I felt humiliated for the Texans. That is a pathetic franchise at this point in time. It reminded me of where the Dolphins were in 2019, except even worse. And that was, of course, the tear-down tank season. I don't know if the Texans are trying to tank, but they're old, they're bad. It was really hard to watch. Kind of considered that like the Dolphins' last preseason game for sure. So, but it is interesting that the Texans had no interest in acquiring Tagovailoa as part of a potential Deshaun Watson deal last year. Obviously, it's worked out quite well for the Dolphins not having to give up assets that they would have had to give up to get Watson. And Tagovailoa, obviously, didn't play quite as well on Sunday as he had in the previous three games. But it was good that the Dolphins were able to shake a little bit of rust after a bye week and playing the Texans will certainly benefit them as they go into a tougher part of the schedule.
Yeah, you know, last time you and I were talking about Tua was, you know, after one of the scariest moments you're going to see in NFL history, where he goes down and his fingers lock up and, you know, he's concussed really bad after he was slung down like a rag doll. And, you know, he missed a few weeks. The Dolphins struggled. They got their only losses during that period. But since he's come back, they've won 5 in a row. 11 of his 19 touchdowns have come in those 5 games. He hasn't thrown an interception in 4 straight games. So talk about Tua, his recent performance, his health, and do you have any other concerns for him going forward?
No, I mean, the one thing that people bring up, Tim, is the cold weather and how will Tua perform in those upcoming cold weather games. You know, of course, we know the Dolphins have to play at Buffalo and at New England, but it's actually going to be kind of chilly in San Francisco and even perhaps not quite so warm in Los Angeles. So, you know, certainly not going to snow in Santa Clara, and Los Angeles, I guess, is a dome, but or a covered stadium or whatever. But, you know, listen, more difficult opponents from a pass defense perspective. Tua has, you know, been lights out certainly throughout the early part of the season, an MVP candidate. But, you know, what does he do with the playoffs on the line? What does he do as the pressure ramps up? What does he do as the weather gets worse? I think, you know, he is highly accurate. And I think that even though the Jalen Waddles and Tyreek Hills of the world have the ability to go deep, you know, the underneath stuff is always there for them. The yards after catch plays are available. But really, the Dolphins need to get the running game going. This is the time of year. You flip the calendar to December. You'd like to see Raheem Mostert return to the lineup next week after missing this week due to a knee injury. And it'll be really interesting to see how the combination of Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, who were the 49ers' top backs last year, do against their former team. They're obviously going to be very, very motivated going into a game against San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan, who traded them away.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that is the one part of their game on offense where it hasn't quite lived up to snuff because, but you know, let's look at the receivers for a minute. Obviously, Tyreek Hill is one of the reasons Tua is reaching Ruthian levels this year. He's got 1,233 yards, an average of 112 yards per game. He leads Justin Jefferson by 1 yard for the league lead. And he's one of only 3 receivers averaging more than 100 yards per game. And Stephon Diggs is the third. So how impressive is he to watch in person? And do you think he can break that 2,000-yard mark with 6 games remaining? He needs 767 yards, which is about 128 per game.
Interesting. You know, you think in order to have a chance for him to win the MVP, he would have to set the record for most receiving yards by a player, breaking Calvin Johnson's mark, and Cooper Kupp was up there last year. Kupp injured probably, you know, unfortunately for the Rams, God, what a bad season they've had. But everything you saw in the spring and summer has translated to the regular season. Tyreek Hill appeared uncoverable then. He's uncoverable now. And, you know, look at the impact that Mike McDaniel has had on the Dolphins' turnaround. Tyreek Hill is right there as nearly as important. He has meant everything. Not only from the ability to get open, but just the fact that he has supplemented all the boosting of Tagovailoa's ego that Mike McDaniel started once those two met. So, yeah, it's really you know, fun to watch, and that it's changing. The perception is changing. You know, there's only one NFL team that has more victories than the Dolphins in the entire National Football League over the last 20 games played. The Dolphins 16-4, the Chiefs 17-3. Think about that. 16-4. The Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins, are 16-4 in their last 20 games played. What does that mean? That means that this is a turning point for the franchise. They are a legitimate contender.
Yeah, it means a lot of long-suffering fans finally get some good football to watch. The equally impressive thing is look at the other side. Jalen Waddle, he's almost at 1,000 yards. So even if you don't have Tyreek Hill, you have someone with 963 yards. That's good for fifth in the league, and he's just behind Davante Adams. So can you remember a receiving duo, or who comes to mind that might remind you of these two just incredibly elite wide receivers on either side?
I mean, it's obviously one of the best potential receiving duos in NFL history. I mean, just growing up, you think about, you know, the Rams with the greatest show on turf. I guess it's the greatest show on surf. Think about the back in the Houston Oilers days, you know, that day, those guys come to mind. But yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Duper Clayton obviously, you know, set the mark here for the Dolphins. And, you know, it's going to take a lot to surpass the legends that those two were as a duo. But the Blur Brothers, as they call them, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, they're faster. They're more explosive. They're even more exciting than those two guys. And it was kind of cool. There were 10 Dolphin fans in full Penguin costumes. And I asked Jaylen if he saw it. He said, nobody heard about it. And he thought it was pretty cool. He said that those fans must have been, quote, hot as hell, which I'm sure they were.
But when you put the two of them together, they sound like something that happened in a war a long time ago. Someone needs to take Waddle Hill.
No.
So I'm hearing, since the games are out west, the 49ers this weekend and the Chargers in L.A. next weekend, you get to stay out and be California dreaming for a week, Joe. So talk about what it's like when you travel out west to follow a team for a full week. You know, they're away from home, you're away from home, practices are going on at places they're not used to. Talk a little bit about what that's like out on a 2-week West Coast trip.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the downside is there's no locker room availability. The players will be selected and brought out to us throughout the week, presumably. But, you know, it's I was talking to Andrew Van Ginkle. I was like, hey, is your wife and young child going to, like, come out to California? He said, no. They're going to go to Iowa and you know, spend time with her family. So, you know, it's a long time for Andrew to be away from his wife and child, for me to be away from my wife and daughter. And but it's also a bonding opportunity for the players. And there's a good chemistry in that locker room. But, you know, being together on the road for, you know, 9-10 nights, whatever it is, having some dinners, doing maybe a couple of activities together. Maybe Raheem Mostert will show the guys how to surf. That's his thing, assuming his knee is feeling better. And I guess maybe not the best week to surf. But, yeah, you know, I got the tip to fly into San Jose instead of San Francisco. I've been to San Francisco enough times. I don't need to go back there. So I'll stay in the Santa Clara area before taking a quick, like, $80 Southwest flight over to Los Angeles. It's amazing. Flights are so expensive, but then you get the occasional, like, $80 one-hour flight. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll certainly miss my family. And I wish it was warmer. You know, I don't like that 39 degrees, low of 39 Ooh. Degrees in Santa Clara next Saturday.
No, thank you.
So I ordered a winter coat from Nordstrom, got the Black Friday sale. So hopefully it'll come in time.
Very nice. And, you know, maybe it's because I watch too much Shark Week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. But I know, don't go surfing in that stretch between LA and San Francisco, because people literally get eaten by great white sharks out there. So tell the players and yourself, Joe, be careful out in those waters.
One of the things I try to do is dip my toes in the Atlantic Ocean and Pacific Ocean in the same week. I think a couple of years ago I was able to do it in the same day. So we'll see if I can get that done. I'm more of an East Coast guy. I don't know. I grew up in New York. And my wife and I love Florida, love Deerfield Beach, Hollywood Beach, Fort Lauderdale Beach. I don't know. I don't love Venice Beach quite as much.
Taxes are much more reasonable here in Florida, too. So, you know, as we were talking about the schedule, you know, the Dolphins really don't have any gimmies coming up. After the Niners and the Chargers, you have Bills, Packers, Patriots, and Jets. And it's important to note that the Bills and Patriots games are up in the freezing Northeast, which we've seen the snow up in Buffalo recently. You know, they already had to move one game because of all the snow up there. So how many of these remaining six games do you think the Dolphins need just to secure the AFC East?
Well, you know, a 3-3 record would get you 11-6, and I think that would probably be a tiebreaker situation with the Bills. And the Dolphins want to win the AFC East so that they can host a playoff game. All three division winners will host a playoff game regardless of record, which these are things I haven't had to really think about in recent years, so I looked that up. Doesn't matter if you're an 8-9 division winner, you're going to host a playoff game, potentially against an 11-win wild card team. And home field advantage, I guess, hasn't been a huge deal in recent NFL playoff seasons. And this will be interesting to see one team getting a bye. Right now, the Dolphins would host the Jets at Hard Rock Stadium in the 2-7 game, which would be fascinating. But let's go through the exercise here. Let's say they split with San Francisco and the Chargers. That brings you to 9-4. Let's say they beat the Packers. That's 10-4. And then at Buffalo, that's a loss, so 10-5. So then you have two games left. The whole thing comes down to the final two games at New England and home for the Jets. So, you know, I think a 3-3 finish with 4 of the 6 games on the road is the most likely scenario. 8-3 to 11-6, which would the 11 wins would exceed Brian Flores' 9-10 win seasons in recent, we forget. The point I'm making is that Brian Flores actually produced a decent amount of wins in the last two seasons. So anything less than 11 would certainly be disappointing. And, the Bills have some winnable games. So it's not going to be easy to win the AFC East. I know it hasn't happened very often in recent years.
Yeah, since the turn of the millennium, the Dolphins have won the AFC East in 2000 and 2008. And you and I were talking off the air before the podcast. You and your time covering them, two different stints, have not even seen them win an AFC East. So, Joe, I'm wondering, is this year's Dolphins the best you've ever seen?
Yeah, I think so. I covered the Dolphins from 02 to 04, had 3 years of Adam Gase. Dolphins went to the playoffs in his first season. And then 3 years of Brian Flores. So yeah, this is a complete team. It's a legitimate contender. Listen, the Dolphins haven't had this type of quarterback play since Dan Marino. They haven't had this type of explosive offense since Dan Marino, Don Shula, maybe Irving Fryer days. So we're talking 2 decades. And the Dolphins are very competitive on defense. They might not be quite as good. They're not quite as good as they were during the Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, Sam Madison, Pat Surtain era, but good enough to beat any opponent. And it seems unlikely that Byron Jones will return at any point this season, but gosh, what a boost that would be if he surprised everyone and showed up on the practice one day.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you had to rank them right now, if you had the Joe Shad power rankings, who are you putting ahead of them? Maybe the Chiefs or maybe not. Who are the NFL teams that you look at and say this team is as good or better than the Dolphins?
The Dolphins have beaten the Bills, but, you know, most folks would pick the Bills to win a head-to-head matchup. And certainly most folks would pick the Chargers. Third choice in the AFC, which is pretty darn good. And then certainly, the Dolphins have lost to Minnesota. And Philadelphia is 10-1. So those are 4 teams that you would certainly put ahead of the Dolphins in a power poll. But to have Miami sitting at, say, 5th as we enter December is quite remarkable. But, you know, the whole perception of the season will change depending on what happens down the stretch. Our perception of Tua, our perception of Mike McDaniel, our perception of this season is all on the line. You know, the Dolphins are 5-0 since my return to full-time coverage, my return to the locker room and game action after returning from 2 eye surgeries that I had, doing fine. It's been cool to go 5-0 and watch 5 wins, but it gets a lot tougher from here.
So it's a package deal. You and Tua both had to return for the team to go 5-0.
Yeah, Tua is undefeated in games he has started and finished healthy. And I am undefeated in games that I've covered in person, that in which I have finished the game without an eye injury.
Well, that's good to know. All right. So what do you think, you know, Mike McDaniel, we were talking a little bit about him earlier playing his former team, but just overall this year, what do you think of the job he's done with this team? You know, no one knew what to make of him before the season. He seems a little bit different than most NFL coaches, but he sure seems to know what he's doing.
He is, and he's a pleasure to cover. He's the most enjoyable head coach I've ever met, and ever in any sport, you know, ever. He's just a really cool guy, and he's got a good sense of humility, and he's smart, and he tries to help everyone do their jobs, which is pretty cool. I watched that show. I don't know. I forget what it's called. The one where the guy is a doctor and he runs a hospital, and his thing is, how can I help you? He always says, how can I help you? And I don't know if you know the show I'm thinking of. One of our listeners will know. Yeah. But that's a McDaniel thing where he's always looking to help. And whether it's a media member or a staff member or a receiver, how can I help is a cool thing. Not enough people think that way. Most people are thinking, how can you help me?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, and how important was it for him to show that confidence in Tua from the start, which is something Brian Flores never did?
Yeah, I mean, listen, McDaniel was going to coach Tua Tagovailoa regardless of, you know, what he thought of him. He didn't pick him. But, you know, he quickly realized, McDaniel did, that Tua is highly accurate. And, you know, that he could be a good fit into the offensive scheme, a tweaked version of the offensive scheme that McDaniel learned from Kyle Shanahan, who, of course, coaches the 49ers and who the Dolphins will face this week. That'll be a big storyline.
Yeah. So, well, you know, speaking of storylines, what haven't we gotten in front of the audience, Joe, that you may want to mention or that maybe I haven't asked you?
Not too much. You know, I'm looking forward to going on the road. I'm looking forward to seeing how Tua performs in the cold weather of Buffalo and New England, and also how he performs against Justin Herbert, considering he did outduel Justin Herbert in a game at Hard Rock Stadium, and Tua has admitted that he understands why he's being constantly compared to the man who was drafted one spot behind him. Herbert has, he had a good game on Sunday, but hasn't had as good a season as he had in recent years. So now some folks are saying, oh, this is proof that Tua was better all along. Well, you know what? Things change quickly. And how will this Dolphins season be perceived? I can't wait to watch these next six games because they're so much more interesting than the previous five.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, those are two teams. The Chargers and the Dolphins are both two teams that have had unfortunate losses to the Jaguars over the course of the last two seasons. So maybe Trevor Lawrence has gotten the better of both of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that one of the Jaguars' defensive players blasted Urban Meyer after the last game in reference to how fortunate the Jaguars are and Trevor Lawrence is that they were able to get away from Urban Meyer. And I know there are similar feelings in the Dolphins locker room. So I went all the way to England to watch Urban Meyer versus Brian Flores, and neither one is, you know, around.
All righty. So, Joe, tell the people where they can find your work on social media as long as the blue check marks can continue to be there and be free.
Yeah, go to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, look up Shad Joe, S-C-H-A-D Joe, and yeah, who knows how long Twitter is going to be around, so I got to build up my Instagram account. If you don't follow me on Instagram, please jump on there and give me a follow.
Yeah, I also need some trendy TikTok videos with you singing along to current music, Joe.
They're trying to get me on TikTok, but I don't know. I don't know that I have it in me.
You'll have to dye your hair a different color, you know, maybe green and purple or something.
Orange and blue.
There you go. All right. Well, again, you can find all of Joe's work at palmbeachpost.com, as well as many other Gannett sites in the state of Florida. Joe, as always, it's a pleasure. I think we've had a great discussion, and I'll probably be talking to you as some of these big conference games come along in December. So I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
All right, and that's going to do it for this episode of the State of Florida Sports Podcast. I'm Tim Walters, and to quote the aforementioned Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel, you have the ambition to be great. My job is to coach you to get all that greatness out. That's exactly what he's doing. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time.